Say something else. No, come on. Good morning. It's a great day. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 2. Paul wrote a lot of letters to the church, and as this is our last Sunday together, I want to celebrate with you, and I also want to leave you with some words, because I have high hopes and high expectations for you. And these words from Paul are maybe not a last word, but a word of encouragement on your journey. And I know we have a lot of guests that are with us today, and so I want to speak to you today as well. Because not only do I have high hopes and high expectations for Fairhaven Church, I also have high hopes and high expectations for the church everywhere, that we might have a new hold on our mission and purpose, that as a church we might see all of the chaos going on around us, all kinds of division, all kinds of frustration, anger, agitation, people who can't hear each other, can't be near each other anymore, and that we might somehow recapture this gospel message of Christ that takes those who are far off and pulls them near, and that as a church we might have a testimony to this culture. And rather than waiting for a culture that's comfortable for us, that seems to be a lot like us, that instead we might step into a culture that is radically different from us and propose something better. That we might, as a community, as a church community beyond these walls, might testify to something that we might actually refer to as good news. That in these gatherings, that in these places where we come together, we have something worth sharing. And it's not just words and it's not just message, it's actually a life. It's actually a way of being, a place to belong, something that actually makes life better because Jesus is a part of it and Jesus is at the center of it. And allowing that to be what fuels us and drives us forward. And this is not a new idea. Right? How many of you have been in church for a while? How many have heard of this thing about good news, hope, life, a better way, a different way, a contrast to our culture? We've heard about this for a long time. We need to start living into it. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. So, Colossians chapter 2. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea, and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and on the basic principles of this world rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In Him you were also circumcised in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with Him in baptism and raised with Him through your faith in the power of God who raised Him from the dead. Paul has all of these words for the early church, this gathering of people who had discovered this other way of being. See, Christ stepped into a world that was all mixed up with power and authority and control. You had a government that was trying to dominate over people. You had a church system that was trying to control people and trying to dictate how people would be in order to feel accepted and loved and belong. And Jesus Christ steps into the middle of the whole thing and turns tables upside down and rebels against the powers that were working against him and demonstrates that there's another way to live, another way to be, one that's filled with compassion and generosity, one that invites instead of dictates, one that constantly reaches out and welcomes, especially those who feel furthest away, especially those who feel like they have no place whatsoever. Now, when Jesus did this, did it get him in trouble? More than a little, right? At every single turn, Jesus came up against opposition. At every single turn, the forces that were in authority at the time did not like the fact that their authority was being questioned. Did not like the fact that their control was being challenged. And so at every single turn, Jesus faced resistance. All the way up into his arrest, his trial, his persecution, his suffering, his death. And everybody thought that was it, right? And then his resurrection. New life. Jesus Christ demonstrating that the power of God is not subject to any kind of measure of power or control that this world wants to apply. And Jesus doesn't need to use the powers of this world to overcome. Jesus didn't need to fight back. Jesus didn't need to conquer or dominate. Because the Spirit of God, the unifying work of God, the holiness of God, the Spirit which has been imparted to us, yes, it's both here, but it goes beyond here. We've been given a life that's everlasting. An everlasting life that cannot be taken from you, that can't be changed, it can't be ripped from you. Nobody can affect it. We've been given this kind of new life that starts here and goes beyond here. Now here's where the catch comes in for us and why I have such high hopes and high expectations for the church. Because many of us have decided that everlasting life happens when we die. That the good news and the glory of Jesus is that when you die, you get to go be with God. Is that good news? Yes. Is that all the news? No. Because everlasting life does not start when you die. Everlasting life starts right here, right now. And God is inviting you to live an abundant life right now in the midst of this one. Not to put something off to another day. Not to sit on the sidelines and just wait to see what might happen. God is in the business of taking broken things and putting them back together again. And He's in the business of using you and me to do it. God has this amazing invitation to you and to me to be a part of this global thing that God is doing. Of taking all that is far off and bringing it close. Of taking all that is broken and shattered. And piecing it back together again. Of taking all that feels unloved and just pouring love all over it. And sometimes the brokenness that God seeks to put together starts within me and within you. It's not some big program to be a part of. It's not some big movement to join. It's not some event to participate in. Sometimes the brokenness that needs putting back together again is within our own hearts. It's within our own lives. And God begins right there. But God never stops right there. So regardless of where you find yourself on this journey, regardless of if you find yourself here today feeling like you don't belong here, feeling like you're uncomfortable here, feeling like you've got stuff going on in your life, Christ is here to meet you in your life, in this moment, in this space, and to pour healing and hope and love and mercy into you. And if you feel like you have known the love and grace of God for a long time, and God has done such amazing work in you, taking all that was broken and piecing it back together again, did you know you might have a brother or sister here who needs to hear your story? Did you know you might have brothers or sisters beyond these walls that need your story? Did you know that because God has put you back together again, you've got a testimony. You've got a story to tell. A story that testifies to healing and reconciliation instead of division and separation. You have a story to tell. Regardless of where you're at in this world, regardless of where you're at in this life, God has a step for you to take and an invitation to you that's right in front of you. I was sharing with Faith and with Crystal this morning. I didn't really think I'd talk about it here, but I kind of want to now. I heard this preacher, and I've talked about him here several times, this guy, Peter Rollins. And he's this Irish philosopher, and he was part of a group in Ireland that they did guerrilla theater, which means they would put together different things, public displays, to try to draw attention to different things, specifically to the church. And they had this event that they put on one time where they planned this huge outdoor Christian rally. And they set up a big stage and they invited the whole city, the whole community to come. And so all these people came and showed up, and it was, you know, like you've been to, you know, you've seen these big gatherings, these big events. And it was this huge thing. And, you know, they had probably, you know, the refreshment vendors, and they might have had T-shirts set up over here, and they like had the whole thing, and they had the stage with the instruments and amplifiers and the whole, you know, big event. And everybody's gathered, and it's time for the event to start. And Peter comes up on stage and he says, "Everybody, thank you so much for coming. We're so excited that you're here. Are you guys excited to be here?" "Yeah, we're so excited to be here." "Awesome. Well, we're so glad you're here. Well, guess what? We're waiting for one more person to arrive. So if you would just hang out for a little bit, be patient, and we'll get started in just a minute." And he leaves the stage, and you know, the crowd kind of goes back to chatting with each other, and they wait about 15, 20 minutes. And Peter comes back out on stage and he says, "Hey everybody, are you excited to get started here this afternoon?" And they, "Yeah, we're so excited." He goes, "Oh, that's so great. We're so glad that all of you are here. We're still waiting for one person to arrive. So if you would just hang out, be patient with us, we really appreciate it." He leaves the stage. Everybody goes back to talking. It goes about 15, 20 minutes. The band comes up and takes the stage. Everybody's like, "Yes, all right, we're ready to go." And the band members get their instruments out and they tune their guitars and they tune the bass. Drummer sits there and hits the cymbals a little bit and does his thing, you know, and they're just kind of getting set. And then they take their instruments off and put them back on the stands and leave the stage. Everybody's like, okay. They wait like another 15, 20 minutes. At this point, people have been standing around here for like an hour, hour and a half, waiting for this thing to start. Peter comes back on stage and he's like, "We are so excited that all of you have chosen to be here with us today. We're really excited about this. If you would just be patient, we're just waiting for one more person to arrive. So if you would just hang out and be patient." They kept doing this until everybody got frustrated enough to leave and go home. That was it. They didn't explain anything else. Now, this was a gathering for the church. What were they trying to tell the church? We are so often just sitting around waiting for one more person to arrive, waiting for somebody to do it for us, waiting for somebody to fix it. We want to observe it. Like, we want to be there when it goes down, but that wasn't the life that Christ invited us to. Like, this resurrection life was not something that Jesus said, "Come and watch everything amazing that's going to happen." Jesus said things like, "Come and taste and see that it's good. Come and walk with me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me." This life that Jesus invites us to is participation, not observation. And so often in the church, we've gotten caught up with all kinds of great ideas and all kinds of fancy notions, and we like to think we got a lot of things figured out, and we sit around and wait for somebody to show up and do something about it. We wait for Jesus to come and do it. Folks, Jesus is already here. We have been given the Spirit of Christ living and moving within us. And we have been invited to be the very hands and feet of Christ at work in our communities. So I want to challenge you today. don't sit around and wait anymore. Don't sit around wondering when's it going to happen. When is this big thing that God's doing going to take place? It's underway. And you and I are a part of it. And now it's time for us to get involved, to get engaged, to do something with this faith that has changed our lives. With this grace of God that has touched us in such an amazing way that we would give up anything to honor God. That we would give God absolutely anything in celebration of who God is and what God has done. Well, we don't know what God will require of you or what God will require of me. And certainly these days, we don't have to risk things quite like they did back then. When Paul starts this section of Scripture out, this chapter 2, he says, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you. Well, we don't know that much about struggle. Like, even when we struggle, we don't know struggle like he knew struggle. I mean, when we celebrate our faith and proclaim this good news, we don't have to worry about somebody locking us up, beating us, bringing us within the edge of our lives. We don't have these same kind of risks. Now, we've got all kinds of other challenges. But we don't face that. So what is holding us back? I would argue that for many of us, we've just taken this opportunity for granted. This life, this invitation to a new way, we've taken it for granted for all too long. But it's not too late. We look at a little baby, little grandbaby. Look at this little baby. So perfect, sleeping. Like so many other people usually do. Right. Yeah, like this adorable little baby. When you hold this baby, like, you think about everything this baby could be, right? Like this little ball of potential. So many things. It could go any way. This baby could do anything. This baby could lead the free world. This baby might just be the best homemaker and mom you've ever seen. This baby might just be the leader of a business. This baby might be a line worker. That's just a great friend to other people. We have no idea what this baby is going to be, but this baby could be anything. And it's so amazing to see this ball of potential. Every single one of us are fearfully and wonderfully made, just like this little life here. And as much as we see this little life with all the growing that's ahead for her, with all the changes that are ahead for her, do you really think that we're that much different? No matter how many years separate us, do you really think that we're that much different? You are a ball of infinite potential, filled with the Spirit of God that raised Jesus from the dead. Resurrection power. Now you think about everything God could do and all the miracles that Jesus worked. When you look through the Gospel of John, John counts his miracles, right? And he starts out with the miracle at the wedding of Cana, and he proceeds through, and he has 7 miracles, which is a complete number in the Bible. 7 kind of represents completion. Jesus does 7 miracles, and then there's the 8th. What's the 8th miracle? Resurrection! Yeah! Resurrection from the dead, new life. When John writes his gospel, he says, here's all these miracles, it's complete. And here's the first day of a brand new week. A brand new beginning. And that's the same for you and me. Jesus pours into us new life and invites us to a brand new kind of walk. Now I want to speak just real briefly to Fairhaven. So for all of you who are gathered here today, especially if you're from far off, you can take these words and interpret them to your own context. But Fairhaven, you're still searching for leadership. What are you waiting for? You don't need a leader to take you where you want to go. A leader will be helpful and useful, and it will be great when you finally find a permanent leader. It will certainly give you some stability. It will certainly give you some strength. But it will not accomplish your mission. And I don't care how great this leader is or how flawed this leader is. they will not accomplish the mission for you. Because God has a mission for this church. Not just for the leader He will bring to this church. And when it comes to whoever's speaking, like it's good to have somebody here who can speak, who can put a couple words together. But the purpose for this church gathering isn't just so this church can gather, right? The purpose of the church is never to just get together and do church. Like the reason we get together and do church is so that we can renew our energy. We can renew our passion and our vision, because life has a tendency to take us and beat us down and knock us back and try to convince us that the good news isn't really the good news. And so we gather to be recharged and reinvigorated. And we gather to encourage one another and to lift each other up and to help each other along this journey. We gather to actually help each other do life together. And that's what I want to challenge you to do. Rather than just considering Fairhaven Mennonite Church is the place you go on Sunday for an hour or two and you gather and you sit and you go home. May Fairhaven Mennonite Church be the gathering that you are a part of, that you might stand in distinction to the culture around you, that you might participate in something healthy and beautiful, and that you might testify to that thing. Because outside of these walls, are there people that don't understand healthy race relationships? Yeah. Within these walls, are there people who don't understand healthy race relationships? Yeah. Yeah, you bet there are. You bet there are. Every single one of us, we don't understand each other fully. But you know what we do have? We've got the Spirit of Christ that's holding us together in here. Now, out there, do you think there's people who have different economic means who have a hard time understanding each other? Yeah. In here, do you think there's people who have different economic means that sometimes have a hard time understanding each other? Yes, but in here we have the Spirit of Christ that pulls us and calls us and takes those kinds of divisions. And so those aren't the important things. Those aren't the things that matter. So let's put those aside and let's celebrate what God is doing within us. Is there gender division going on out there? You better believe it. Differences between men and women and all sorts of other things now too, right? Lots of confusion going on outside of these walls. Lots of anxiety and fear about what's going on in the world around us, right? Do you suppose there's some of that in here too? You better believe it. We're all mixed up. We're all just a mess. But in here, in this community, we have the Spirit of Christ that holds us together and says, it doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter what your gender is. It doesn't matter what your background is. Jesus died on the cross and rose again that you might have life and have it fully. And Jesus has called you into community because this life is meant to be lived together. You are supposed to be a part of community. And so God is calling you into one where you take all of these worldly divisions and you intentionally set them down. And instead you focus on something else. You focus on this grace of Christ. And you guys do such a beautiful job of this. But we have so much more to do. Beyond these walls is a world that is hurting and dividing and segregated and broken and scared. And the church has an opportunity to either reflect that and participate in that, or to show something different. And we can go out and march, and we can put out big signs, and we can tweet, and we can Facebook post, and we can do all these things that we want to do, talking about what we really think. Or we can live what we really think. We can live a life that reflects who God is and what God has done in us and through us and all around us. And then we can invite people to be a part of that. The last thought that I want to share with you before I go, and this will be very brief, but it doesn't matter what you have to say until people know how you really feel and how you really act. The homeless population in Fort Wayne, did anybody really connect with the homeless population in Fort Wayne? A little bit? Yeah. On the surface, I would have said that I cared about the homeless population. Like, I had a superficial understanding, and my calling to ministry came as the rescue mission in Wichita, Kansas, and so I would have said, yeah, like, I care, but I didn't. And it wasn't until I met a woman who had upended her entire life because she came face to face with the homeless crisis that's going on in our town, and she said, I can't just stand by and watch this happen. And so she committed herself to feeding the homeless in Fort Wayne twice a week, every week. She gave up her personal vehicle from keeping it the way she wants it, and instead stocked that thing from floor to ceiling with clothes and supplies and tents and gloves and socks and shoes and whatever she can find that she might serve this group of people and serve them fully. And when this lady speaks about the homeless crisis in this city, you can listen. Because it's not some superficial idea. It's not preachy. It's lived. This lady is neck deep in the middle of this thing. And you know that her words matter and her words are sincere because they're not superficial words. They are lived words. I want to invite you as the church to not offer superficial words anymore, but to offer lived words. We have so much good news, so much hope to offer, and Christ is at work in such a mighty way. May we take hold of it and step out in it. Live in a community that is testifying that all the brokenness we see out there is not the only way. That there is a different way that God has called us and invited us to live. And at least in this little community, that's what we focus on. In this gathering, that's what matters. That's what's most important. Regardless of where you worship, may this life of Christ be moving and calling you forward. May each of us live into this in a new way, not simply being passengers or observers, but active participants in the healing, reconciling ministry of Christ in us and around us all the time. I'm going to say a word of prayer, and then we're going to break. Now, when we break up here, a lot of times we go 1,000 different ways, or we stand around and talk with each other for a couple of minutes, and we kind of finally find our way downstairs. Today is different, because today we get to celebrate baptism, and it's going to be awesome. So what we're going to do is I'm going to say a word of prayer, and then we're going to get up, and kind of as quickly as we can, we're going to find our way downstairs, and you'll see the amazing baptismal that's down there. It's quite impressive. But we're going to gather around that, okay? And so we're going to have our baptismal canons. We'll do them kind of one at a time, but we're going to gather just kind of in a circle around the baptismal. And I believe we've got some candles for all of you to hold that we can all participate in this thing together. And we're going to do baptism, and then we're going to do lunch. Who doesn't like lunch? Huh? We're going to break bread together, and we're going to enjoy fellowship. So let us say a word of grace, and a word of prayer, and then we'll go downstairs and celebrate baptism. Gracious God, thank you for all that you are and for all that you continue to do in us and through us and all around us. Thank you for community and belonging, for a family that we are a part of. Not because of what we've done, but because of who you are. You have called us into this community. You have invited us to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. We confess before you, God, our brokenness. We confess before you, God, the ways that we get distracted and we just take for granted the life that you have poured into us. But it is our desire, O God, to honor you, to glorify you, and to respond to this grace that you have poured into us. And so as we gather in this space, renew your spirit within us. Lift us up and encourage us. Give us strength once again and boldness to walk into this new life that you have for us. And may we, oh God, just be filled with thankfulness for who you are and for all that you've done. May we as your people recognize all that you have given to us and give thanks. as we gather and enjoy this day together, watch over us, guide us. In thy name we pray. Amen. All right. To the